Today's gospel lesson comes from chapter 13 in Luke, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I just want to tell you that if you have questions about us beginning to worship at the worship center at First, please give me a call. Let's talk. There's a lot of reasons that we need to do this, but I think that as we continue to move forward in doing all of these things, I think it's going to be the best thing we can do to honor God and to honor our commitment to God. So please feel free to call me. I want to take also one more minute to thank Mary Ann. Mary Ann, I love the way you read the scripture today. We went to charge conference yesterday, and the superintendent preached and just preached a wonderful sermon. But she was talking about how sometimes we read scripture in church. And the scripture that we used yesterday was about Lazarus. And it was about Lazarus, not Lazarus at the gate, but Lazarus, brother of Martha and Mary. And she said, you know, sometimes we read this when Jesus is telling Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." Instead of saying, "Lazarus, come out," like Jesus would have said it. And Mary Ann, this morning as you were reading about Jesus chastising the Pharisees, you had that intent in there. So good job. Let us pray before I start. Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, whether we're sitting in the sanctuary or watching from home, be suitable and acceptable to you, dear Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 That's right. Our gospel story for this morning is about a woman who was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. Isn't that an interesting way that the Bible identifies her? It's not by a name. It's by the fact of her physical disability of being bent over and not being able to stand up straight. She has no other name that we know of. History has named her. History has judged her. History has labeled her. And it's all by her appearance, by what's wrong with her. They've judged her by her situation. It's the Sabbath. It's a holy day. And the Jewish people have come to the synagogue, and Jesus is teaching. I'm sure everybody's excited. Anytime Jesus came into the city and did anything, his reputation preceded him, and people were excited. And like every other first century synagogue, the men sat in the front and the women sat in the back. But somehow, Jesus notices that woman who's sitting in the back. And she's all bent over. The Greek word that's used actually means doubled over. She probably has a cane in one hand and her head toward the ground. She probably can't see anything except the ground. And she's probably has gone unnoticed by everybody else. Scripture tells us she's been living this way for 18 years. Slumped. Bent. Hunched. Do you know what happens when you spend 18 years looking at nothing but the ground? I don't know much about it, but you got to miss a whole lot of what's going on around you when the only thing that you see are your feet and the ground and everybody else's feet. In fact, I think if you spent 18 years looking at anything, you would miss a whole lot of what was of life that's going on around you. But this woman who is bent over, the scripture says, was crippled by a spirit. Now that says to me that there was a time in this woman's life before this happened to her, that she could look up and she could look straight ahead, that she could look people in the eye. But at some point in her life, she had been stronger. She probably was healthy. But something had happened to her. And whatever it was, she just couldn't seem to leave it behind. It could have been an illness. But I don't think that's what this is about. Crippled by a spirit indicates that there is something that has gotten a hold of her, has assumed power over her, something that has taken over her life. And that something is causing her to live life in this crippled state, causing her to live life as less than, with something she has to make her own choices around. It's so powerful that it dictates all of her actions, how she speaks, where and when she goes, how she acts, how she thinks of herself, and how she thinks of others. When a spirit has crippled you, it can take absolutely everything from you. Have you ever seen someone walk around kind of all hunched over? Bad posture, slumped shoulders, and eyes that will not or cannot look you in the face. I see a lot of people like that. Some of them come down to the food pantry down at first or the soup kitchen. Some of them I see if I am downtown walking our streets. And over the years, I've known teenagers like that won't look you in the eye. And also a lot of older adults. What causes a person to be like that? Is it low self-esteem that causes a person to walk bent over? You know, guilt can be a very heavy load to bear. And somehow or another, it causes a person to look down. Abuse can make people not look people in the eye. Because you see, human beings can do unspeakable things to one another. I have told this story before, but it's been a while. When I was in college at Bethel, I was walking across campus one day when I came upon this older woman who was in one of my classes. And when I was going to Bethel, it would have been, at least I wasn't the oldest woman that was in the class. She went to the same Bible study that I did on campus. And so we got into this conversation that day. For some reason, at some point, she said, "You know, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in heaven, but I'm never going to be there." I was shocked by this statement. You know, we had been in classes together. We'd been in Bible study together. And it began a fairly long conversation. Because you see, it turned out that as a child, she had been sexually abused by her father. He would molest her and hurt her and tell her that she was not worth anything. And then when she got older, she married a man, and he was just like her father. He hurt her and told her that she wasn't worth anything, and that she was lucky that he would have her to be his wife. And she believed that. She began to internalize that. It had become who she was. She felt so bad about herself that she couldn't even possibly imagine that she would be good enough to ever go to heaven. She wasn't good enough. She wasn't worthy of the kind of love that God and Jesus have for us. I think that's the state of mind of the woman in the gospel lesson that Marianne read this morning. Have you ever felt as if you weren't good enough? Or that you weren't worthy of being loved? I think a lot of us have at some point in time in our lives. And maybe some of us still feel that way. J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament reads that the woman had been doubled over due to some psychological cause. This is the bent over woman. She is everyone who has ever struggled to rise above the pain of oppression, low self-worth, to rise over the judgment of others. She is everyone who has ever struggled with illness or addictions or loss of value or loss of a spouse or self-esteem or loss of innocence. She is anyone who has been told, "You can't," and she believes. She is anyone who has ever lost hope. And she makes her way to her seat on that Sabbath morning. And Jesus calls to her. And Jesus doesn't shout like we were talking about, "Hey, you, crippled lady in the back of the room," or any other label that she or anyone else had ever used to identify her. Jesus called her in a way that she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was talking to her. And it says, the scripture says, Jesus saw her, and then he called her forward. Jesus saw her for who she was. Jesus knew her. Jesus knew her secrets. Because you see, Jesus saw her in all her humanity, in all her frailty. He knew what she had gone through. He knew what she was thinking about herself. He knew what others thought of her, and Jesus loved her with a love that is crystal clear, a love that is unconditional, a love that is the most beautiful thing in all of the world. And when she gets up and comes to Jesus at the place of peace, place of sanity, at the place of love, at the place of acceptance, she hears Jesus say, "You are free from your infirmity. You are free from the oppression. You are free from judgment. You are free from shame. You are no longer under the power of this thing that has controlled you for so long in your life. You are free to be who you are and not who others tell you you are. Amen. You are free to live in the grace and mercy of the one of the one who loves and cares for you. The one who knows everything about you and loves you anyway. And you are free to love yourself, to accept yourself. You are precious. You are cherished. You are adored. Then Jesus put his hands on her. And immediately, instead of being like this, she straightened up and she praised God. The leaders were not happy. They were not happy with Jesus. It was the Sabbath. How dare you? How dare you do any healing on the Sabbath? And they call out to him. And Jesus says, "You hypocrites." And then he turns to the woman and he calls her daughter. Daughter. Daughter of the Most High King. He looks at the crowd with their mouths still wide open and lovingly reminds them that this woman, the one who they have made to feel less than, the woman that they have made to feel less than for all these years, is as much a part of them as the leader in the synagogue who's calling Jesus out for healing on the Sabbath. He reminds them that the family of God is not about shaming people. It's not about shaming people into community or marginalizing those who struggle. It's about bringing everyone to the center. Friends, I don't know if you're feeling bent over today. We probably all have days where we feel bent over. I don't know what may or may not have a hold on you or how far out into the margins you may feel. I don't know what you might be struggling with this morning or what's in your life that has claimed power over you. But this is what I do know. We all, to some extent, live bent over. And it may or may not be in the form of a debilitating disfigurement like the bent over woman. No one might be able to see that you are bent over at all. You may look perfectly normal and healthy. But here's what I want to tell you. Jesus knows that you're bent over. That's right. He has seen you in the back of the room with your cane. And that's all right, because he loves you. And at this very moment, right now, he is calling you to stand up straight. And when Jesus calls you to the you that's inside, to the you that God has created, to the you that he died for, to the you that he loves no matter what. You know, I say this all the time, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you love, no matter, Jesus loves you. What he is offering you is life. Life that is rich and full and free. Because I'm here to tell you, we don't have to live a bent over life. We don't have to be bent over to anything or anyone or any label ever. Because the one who knows the truth about each of us sees all of it. You can't hide. You can't hide from Jesus. He knows. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows how many hairs were in your sink this morning when you brushed your hair. He's the one who knows the truth about you. and he sees it all, and he still calls us sons and daughters. How amazing. You know, we talk about this physical infirmity, but think about all the people in our community that are labeled as less than. A person of color. A person who is LGBTQ. A person who is trans. A person who's non-binary. A person who's just a little bit different. And we judge. I got news for you. Jesus loves them as much as he loves you. Will you pray with me, please? Oh, Jesus, you are a lover of our soul. We thank you that we do not have to be anything other than ourselves for you. And because we can just be ourselves, you love us beyond measure. We thank you that you have come to save us from ourselves, from our insecurities, from our traumas, from the spirits that seek to hold us captive. And as we sit here this morning, as we sit, maybe we're at home, maybe we're in our living room, maybe we're sitting on the edge of our bed watching, we accept that free gift of salvation. We accept your love for us. Lord, we will, with your help, learn to love you, to love our neighbor, no matter who they are, and to love ourselves because you first loved us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. You are welcome. I will not be here next week, but I will be here the week after. So I will see you then. Thank you all. Call me.